Have you ever heard the term foodie? Now, a foodie is someone who takes an enthusiastic interest in preparing and eating gourmet food. For them, it's a lot more than just filling your stomach. So, is there anyone here who would consider yourself a foodie? All right, there are a few. Usually find it more in the big cities. We're in the middle of Missouri here. You may not be a foodie, but maybe you just really like to eat. I've noticed that there are a number of you, like me, who eat quite a bit at our church potlucks. Oh, if you notice on the calendar, there's one scheduled for the end of this month. Okay, well, here's another question. Why do we eat? Well, we eat because it's enjoyable, but also to grow when we are young, to give us energy, and to keep us alive. See, if I don't get regular food, I can't think straight, and I tend to get hangry. Maybe there are some of you who have that as well. And I'm very grateful to have a wife who is good at cooking. Well, if you're a kid and you want to grow, there are things you need, like sleep and exercise. But the main thing is food. The theme of this year's Bible camp at Little Prairie was metamorphosis. And at the senior week, Dub showed them the metamorphosis documentary from Alestra Media. And we have a copy of it in our church library if you'd like to see it. Now, obviously, if a caterpillar is going to become a butterfly, then it needs to eat. A caterpillar, it's an eating machine. Eat and grow, eat and grow. That's the main job of a caterpillar. But they also need to eat the right thing. For a monarch, that's milkweed, which is why we've planted a bunch of milkweed out there at camp. Well, there's this little book, this little kid's book, that I used to read to my children when they were young, The Very Hungry Caterpillar, where there's this caterpillar that eats a bunch of human food and then gets a stomachache. Now, I wouldn't say that it's a real page-turner, but my kids seem to enjoy it when they were toddlers. Ken's like, that's still my favorite book. Now, I don't remember where it was, but I heard about this health food restaurant in a town that put up a billboard that said, eat here and live a long life. Well, not wanting to be outdone, the barbecue place next door put up a sign that said, eat here and die happy. But the problem is, whether you eat healthy food or your favorite food, whether you eat Ezekiel bread or white bread, it can only nourish you physically. Now, when it comes to physical food in America, we have more than we need. The average BMI seems to keep going up. But sadly, there are so many people in America who are starving and who are malnourished spiritually. They wouldn't dream of missing a physical meal, and yet they will constantly miss spiritual meals. We live among people who are starving. There are people starving to death in Phelps County. They are in our neighborhoods. They may even be in our homes and at our tables. They are starving to death, not because of empty stomachs, but because of empty souls. They are starving spiritually. I titled this sermon, Eating the Word of God. Now, obviously, this is not talking about putting some barbecue sauce on your Bible and chomping down. When you are reading the Word of God and studying it, or you are listening to it being read or being preached from, you are metaphorically eating it. You are spiritually consuming it and taking it inside of you, which will then result in spiritual growth and spiritual energy. And this is actually a fairly common way that the Bible describes it. It's our spiritual nourishment. We can find the Word of God compared to honey, milk, bread, and meat. So, let's take a look at some of the passages. We'll start with Psalm 119. Psalm 119, that's the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's all about, guess what? The Word of God. Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. They didn't have our processed sugars back then, and so honey was about as sweet as you get. Now, I want you to think of your favorite dessert. I know some of you think I'm crazy because I quit eating candy and dessert a few years ago, but I used to really like baklava. And it's this Turkish dessert, which from what I understand is a real pain in the neck to make. But according to the psalmist, the word of God is better than baklava. Okay, here's what the prophet Jeremiah had to say in Jeremiah 15, 16. Your words were found and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. We can often get joy from eating physical food. There's a reason why we always eat whenever we're going to celebrate, whenever we're going to celebrate a wedding or a birthday party or a graduation party. I get joy from eating a big, juicy steak. My sister just made me an excellent one for my birthday, which was cooked with bacon, of course. I'm really hoping that's going to become a tradition. But we should also be able to get joy from eating our spiritual food. Now, here's what Jesus said to Satan in Matthew 4:4 when he was being tempted in the wilderness. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3 when speaking of the manna that God fed the Israelites in the wilderness. And so they shouldn't just accept the manna from God to feed them physically. They should also accept his words to feed them spiritually. And then we find what the apostle Peter said, starting in 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Like most kids, when my children were newborns, they were these scrawny little things. But then they started drinking their mother's milk, and they all got fat, and they started to grow. We had very chubby babies, you know, the double chin and the poochy cheeks and all that. Her milk is apparently very rich. But you can also find some babies whose parents don't take care of them, and they don't feed them properly. And so their growth is stunted. For example, my father was born less than a year after his older brother. Now, in that family, they were bottle fed, and his older brother would often steal the bottle from my father and drink it himself. The result is that he wasn't being nourished enough. He wasn't getting the nourishment he needed. My father has 6 brothers and 6 sisters, and the result is that he is quite a bit shorter than all of his brothers and even some of his sisters. The same thing can happen to a young Christian. If they are not being fed by the word of God, well, their growth will be stunted. Long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Well, the last one that we'll look at is 1 Timothy 4:6. Where Paul, he was writing to the young evangelist Timothy, and he said this, "In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and the sound doctrine which you have been following." When teaching the brethren, Timothy would not only be feeding them, but feeding himself. A teacher often gets more out of his preparation and his pointing out than those who are listening to him. Any of you who have prepared a sermon or a class or a devotional talk, I think you would agree with that. But notice how he said, constantly nourished. Would you say, "Oh yeah, I ate lunch one time and so I'm good. I don't need to eat again." But some people, they think that they can do that with the Word of God. Again, there are people who are undernourished physically. And there are people who are undernourished spiritually. What happens if you don't get enough food regularly? If you go on a starvation diet, then you are going to continually get weaker and weaker. Have you ever tried to do a difficult job when you haven't eaten? Well, in the same way, we're not going to have the same success in doing God's work and in winning the spiritual battles that confront us when we are starving ourselves to death. If we are going to function at the level that God wants us to, then we need the spiritual energy that we receive from the Word of God. Okay, there are other passages that we could look at, like in Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel and the book of Revelation, where in their visions, God told them to eat the scrolls. But what I want to do now is talk about the Bible itself. Here's something that I find interesting. The entire Bible has been translated into over 700 languages. The Bible continues as it has for so long to enjoy bestseller status, printing about 100 million copies each year. Studies show that around 90% of Americans own at least one. God has made His Word just amazingly available to us. And not only the fact that there are physical Bibles everywhere, but these days there are all these free Bible apps that we can get for our phones. And people will do almost anything for the Bible. They will fight for it and defend it. They will purchase it and display it. They will copy it and circulate it. But it seems that the one thing that they won't do is pick it up and read it. You see, for many, the Bible has what you might call a relic status, where they put it on the mantle and display it like you would a good luck charm or a magic stone or something like that. I found some interesting polls and some surveys that show that less than half of Americans today can name the four Gospels. And 60% can't even name five of the Ten Commandments. And then you find ones where there's a significant percentage of people who think Sodom and Gomorrah were a married couple, Joan of Arc was Noah's wife, and Billy Graham was the one who preached the Sermon on the Mount. I kid you not. Do you realize what this is? This is the place where we learn who the true God is, what He has done, and what He requires of us. You often hear people asking about the meaning of life. Guess what? The answer is in this book. And you can wear your WWJD bracelet, but it doesn't do any good if you don't know what Jesus would do. In Hosea 4:6, God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge," in the context speaking of His Word. In Matthew 22:29, Jesus told the Sadducees, "You are in error because you do not know the Scriptures." That's quite a thing when we realize what Jesus said in John 12:48, that His Word would judge us at the last day. Now, if you're here today and you don't yet believe or know for sure if the Bible is the Word of God, well, I would point you to apologeticspress.org, and I would ask you to look at the evidence they provide, and then you can make a much more informed decision. Here's the thing. God isn't going to miraculously put the knowledge into our heads, or else we wouldn't need the Bible. And we wouldn't need all those passages encouraging us to study the Scriptures and to handle them accurately. And we're sure not going to be able to use the Bible as a pillow and get it through osmosis or put some barbecue sauce on it and physically consume it. Now, the only way to know what this book contains and to receive what it has to offer is to blow off the dust, peel it open, and start putting those letters, syllables, words, and sentences together. There's no other way other than having someone else read it to you. And there are actually some free Bible apps out there that will do that. They will read the Bible to you, and that still counts. Dr. Herrick Johnson, he put it like this: if God is a reality, and the soul is a reality, and you are an immortal being, what are you doing with your Bible shut? If you've not been reading and studying that Bible, you don't know what you're missing. Here's a sample of what the Bible says the Word of God can do. And if you want, I can give you these passages, these references after. It can restore the soul and make wise the simple. It can keep our way pure and from sin. It can give us insight and understanding. It can light our path. It can give us great peace. It can give us joy. It can give us spiritual nourishment. It can give us a foundation. It can give us truth and freedom. It can build us up and give us an inheritance. It has the power for salvation. It gives us faith. It works in us. It gives us the ability to gain the glory of our Lord. It equips. It cuts. It can save our soul. It gives growth for the newborn Christian. It gives everything for life and godliness. First of all, I would encourage you to be there for the assemblies, the worship assemblies, and the Bible classes where the Word of God is taught. And I would encourage our youth to go to Bible camp and to go to the other church youth events and activities. Now, every year, something that I do is put up a Bible reading chart out in the hallway of our church building that you can sign and mark off and that you can finish by reading just a little more than one chapter a day. And if you do that, it ends up taking you through the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. Now, it takes less than a chapter a day to read through the New Testament in a year. A very small price to pay for the great benefits that you'll receive. And it's not too late. There's still plenty of spaces out there on the Bible reading chart for your name. And it's all right if you don't finish it. Okay, whether you sign up or not, let me give you some practical advice on what you need to do. There are five steps. Number one, start by getting a good Bible. If you don't already have one, why not treat yourself to a new one? You can get one from Amazon or ChristianBook.com or from your local Bible bookstore, which I don't think we have at the moment here in Rolla, but sometimes you can even get one from Walmart. Or at least get a new Bible app for your phone. Number two, find a good place to read, a place that's comfortable and with as few distractions as possible. Some people like to keep a Bible next to their bed. Number three, set apart the time every day. Now, keep it the same if you can, so that it forms a habit. Number four, choose a reading schedule. Some people like to have something that they can check off, they can physically check off. But I would recommend that you start by reading through the New Testament, Matthew to the maps. And, of course, there are some different Bible reading schedules on our church website that you can check out as well. And number five, you're just going to have to be disciplined in doing it. How would you like to be the person that everyone goes to ask where Bible verses are, where a certain passage is located, or to ask their various Bible questions? If you will be disciplined and diligent enough to do this and stick with it, that's in your future. But more importantly, you will be constantly nourished on the words of the faith, as well as all those other benefits that I listed. Now, some people, they will pick up a Bible and they just will randomly open their Bible and just read one verse. But that's more like eating a crumb and thinking that it's going to be enough. It's not going to do much. You need to get that verse in its context. I would encourage you to at least read a paragraph and preferably a chapter. It does not take long to read a chapter of the Bible. And like with our physical food, it can help if you chew on it a bit before swallowing. Think about it and meditate on it. Here's an illustration I've heard before that was certainly true for me. I assume that there are some of you out there who eat shredded wheat. Well, when you first start reading the Bible, it can be difficult. It's kind of like taking a bowl and pouring in some plain shredded wheat, not the frosted or the flavored kind, and then taking a spoon and eating it dry. But as you continue reading, it gets easier and it starts to make more sense. And the Bible will often interpret itself, and then it's like you get to pour the milk in. Well, as you continue reading and studying, well, then it's like you get to sprinkle on some sugar. And as you continue, it's like you get to cut up some fresh fruit and so forth. So the point is, it gets better and better. You just have to stick with it. Here's the thing. Some Christians have what you might call a spiritual eating disorder. It's like they look in the mirror and they think that they look healthy and a good weight when they're actually just skin and bones. They're not getting enough nourishment from the Word of God, but they're deluded into thinking that they are. They have a spiritual eating disorder. There were a couple of kids at camp that I talked to about this, and they thought it was enough to just listen to a Christian music radio station once in a while, and that would do it for them. In conclusion, okay, why do we eat physical food? Well, to nourish us physically so we can live physically. And why do we eat this spiritual food? Spiritual nourishment so we can continue to live spiritually. And so do you have a healthy spiritual diet? Now, if not, you can start making the changes in your life. And the sooner the better. Many of you love to eat physical food, but you need to get to the point where you love to eat the Word of God. If you want to become what God wants for you, a spiritual butterfly, if you will, then like that caterpillar, you have got to get enough spiritual nourishment.